Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The McNeil and Parkins Show.
I was listening to the McNeil and Parkins Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
Chicago Bears football.
Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail. This is his sixth touchdown of the game.
No one has played middle linebacker better than Dick Butkus.
Dick was an animal. I call him a maniac, a stone maniac. And every time he hit you, he tried to put you in the cemetery, not the hospital.
Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rushers.
Getting ready to carry Dick. Dick doesn't want to go yet. He says, wait till I see that final second. Hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher.
Who else? Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher has decided to take over this football game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown
them. Hester 5. Oh! Touchdown, Bears!
No way!
Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
It's the monsters of the Midway. Then and today.
Listen to this crowd. Trubisky takes the snap, takes a knee. They head to the field. The Bears have won it. 24-17 over the Green Bay Packers. And they win the NFC North 2018 Division Champions.
The McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
The beloved Chicago Bears heading into what is the 100th season in franchise history with optimism about as high as it's been at any time in my lifetime. And as two big NFL fans that Mac and I are, it's an honor to have one of the owners in studio, the chairman of the Chicago Bears ahead of the centennial season, George McCaskey, with us in studio on The Score. Thank you for the time. How you doing, George?
Good.
George,
good.
It's great of you to come down here. Those highlights are much more uplifting than our memories of the 94 loss to the Packers on Halloween night. God, I don't even remember how we got there, but it is really great of you to come down here. And it's got to be a whirlwind of a difference in how people treat you 1 year later after such a dramatic turnaround. Now you're King George all over again, right?
Well, first of all, great intro. Some terrific voices there. Dick Enberg, Joniak, Thayer, of course, the voice of God, John Facenda.
Yes.
Deacon Jones is in there, giving props to Butkus. And, of course, our old friend Dennis Green with his own unique tribute.
Some good memories there.
It's good to be here. Yeah. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So heading into this 100th year, which I know is a huge deal for you and the franchise, and people can find out all the information about the celebration weekend, June 7th to the 9th at Rosemont Convention Center at chicagobears.com/celebrationweekend. You've got to be feeling great about the state of the Bears heading into what is such a huge year.
Well, we feel good, and we're so grateful to the fans for sticking with us. The 4 years before 2018, it was hard to be a Bears fan, quite frankly. And they kept the faith, and you saw it rewarded to some extent in 2018, and we're hoping for bigger things in 2019 and beyond.
Do you have the I told you so, Gene? Because a lot of people say, no?
No.
You can do a touchdown dance if you'd like.
What's there to be beating our chest about? We haven't reached our goal. Our goal is victory in the Super Bowl. That's what we want.
As you vividly recall, goals happen, accomplishing goals, you know, happen in steps. There was a painful loss to the 49ers in 84, and everybody went to Platteville convinced that 85 was going to be the year. Do you feel that energy in the building, that there's that much optimism after the turnaround you made this past year?
I think there's some sense of that. Matt, in the locker room after the loss to the Eagles, told the players, remember this feeling. And remember that you don't want to feel this way again. So hopefully it'll be a catalyst. You know, you never know. You can't rely on that too much. You got to put in the work every year, and I think our guys will.
What did you see when a lot of fans and media were saying that it wasn't enough to just move on from John Fox, that you should have moved on from Ryan as well, and you stood with him and extended him and said, no, this is the right guy that's going to lead us here? What did you see that so many people didn't?
I don't think it's a question of what was seen that a lot of people didn't see. Even when we interviewed him, we liked his organizational skills, and we saw throughout his tenure his leadership. And it was especially impressive during tough times. He didn't panic. He didn't lose it. He stayed the course. And I think the people in the building really appreciated Ryan's steady hand at the helm.
Bears chairman George McCaskey is in studio with us. Once the season ended and Matt and Ryan spoke to the media, the biggest news that came out of that probably was how open Matt Nagy was with his connection to Kareem Hunt and that he had just spoken with Kareem Hunt. If your football people bring to you the recommendation to sign him, is that something you're open to?
Well, we're not there yet. Ryan said as much. And I think it's an indication of the kind of person that Matt is, that he reached out to Kareem Hunt. He said it was a non-football conversation. He's just checking in. He had coached him for 1 year in Kansas City. And I think that says a lot about Matt, that it's not just a player-coach relationship with these guys. He cares about our guys as people, not just players. And that's all it was. Ryan said himself, we're not there yet. The guy's not even eligible to sign with a team at this point. So,
But you're not closing the door completely on the possibility.
We're not there yet.
George, has the matriarch seen the video?
I don't know that she has.
Do you think it's important she does? You leave that up to her?
She leaves that up to me. And I haven't seen the video. I understand there are people that have a morbid curiosity to see other human beings at their lowest points. I try to have some discipline about that myself. It's not important for me to see it at this point. And if we ever get to that point, I would make sure that I saw it. But, you know, it's not just incidents of domestic violence that get caught on video. This is a vexing social issue that needs attention, and not just from people in the NFL and not just from teams with owners who happen to be female. A lot of times it's a he said, she said situation, and family and friends and police and prosecutors need to sort through and find out which person is telling a more credible story. It's a very, very difficult situation. And as a society, we've got to get on top of it.
You have some experience with it from when you guys brought in Ray McDonald, and I went back and read the quotes. You said that you would be in a place to, quote, make a better decision in the future, and you asked yourself, what more could I have done after Ray McDonald's arrest once he was a member of the Bear? What did you learn from that experience?
Well, the biggest lesson I learned, and I said it at the time, is I didn't go with my gut. My gut told me no, and I went against that, and it was a mistake, and it was my mistake.
How involved will you be in your conversations with Ryan and Matt about that possibility when you get there? I assume, based on the emotion you're exhibiting when you discuss this, largely involved.
Well, we have a process in place, and I've said many times to Ryan and to Matt and to Bears fans, I don't get involved in personnel decisions unless there is a character question.
Right.
And Ryan and Matt know that if there is a character question, they need to bring it to me.
We were talking off air about, you know, my experience in Kansas City, and Matt worked with Andy Reid, who loves and prides himself on giving guys second chances. And that's Matt's background, too. He said at the press conference, I give second chances, but not third chances. Is that something that you talked about with Matt in the interview process, his desire to give guys second chances?
No, didn't come up.
Okay. So, but do you agree with him on that philosophy, I guess, of second chances but not third chances?
I agree that if the circumstances are right, second chance is warranted. The question is, in a particular circumstance, and every situation is different, does that person deserve a second chance? And in this particular situation, we're not anywhere close to that. Ryan himself has said, we're not there yet.
George, you know, as we are as a nation facing change and the way we look at things with domestic violence, there also is a change, a shift in attitudes towards marijuana in this country. And the NFL's collective bargaining agreement is unique from other professional sports, and the players have to test for it. Yet it's endorsed by the AMA. What is your feeling on where this should go?
The NFL is still gathering information about whether there are medical benefits to medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. And we rely on the Health and Safety Committee and the medical experts that we have at the league level to recommend courses of action on that. At this point, I don't see anything changing in the foreseeable future.
Okay, but how do you feel about it? It has to some emotional reaction. No?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Did you inhale at Arizona State? Just curious.
I was too busy studying.
We both did in college. Broadcast major. Studying? Were you broadcast? I know you broadcast. Were you a broadcast major at Arizona State?
Yep.
Okay.
George McCaskey in studio with us on The Score. How would you characterize the possibility, the collective bargaining agreement's up in 2 years? We don't want to miss any football. What are the chances of missing football in a couple of years?
Well, the goal, of course, is that we not miss any games. We were able to avoid that except for what happened to be our one preseason game in Canton in 2011. We've got a good thing going. We've got the greatest game. We try to be good stewards of the game. And the hope is that smart people on the player side and smart people on the management side can get together and get a deal done.
How would you characterize the relationship right now? Because the players that I talk to, including some who are player reps for teams, right now are not optimistic. But obviously there's a lot of time in the future. How would you characterize the relationship between ownership and players right now?
Well, I think it's pretty good. I know just in our situation, we have a pretty good relationship with our players. There's open communication. There's trust. There's respect. But when you get to a league-wide deal, I think in a lot of situations, rhetoric takes over, and there's posturing and positioning. That's part of the negotiating process. The real test is, when they go into the negotiating room and they sit across the table from each other, can they do the right thing and get a deal done?
I thought it was a pretty incredible show between you and your player rep and the team with the social justice initiative. Is that something that in your mind shows like, hey, we can work together, ownership and players?
Yeah, the whole idea of that social justice initiative was to encourage collaboration between the players and management. And I think it really helped improve relations that we had that initiative to sink our teeth in. And our players were great there. They were engaged. They did their homework. They rolled up their sleeves. They did the work that needed to be done. They researched who they wanted the beneficiaries of the social justice funds to be. And they wanted it to be more than just showing up, having a photo op with an oversized check, and then taking their leave. They wanted something where they could be involved in the programs being promoted by these agencies.
George, let's talk a little football. 8 days before the season begins, Ryan pulls off the deal for Khalil Mack, and it shocked NFL America. Can you tell us that you had any inkling it would have the enormous impact that it immediately had on your football team everywhere? Culturally, the way guys carried themselves, everything seemed to change from all accounts.
Yeah, I think Khalil transformed the team. Not just the defense. Ryan said it very well. When your best players are the hardest workers, that's a good thing. And Ryan also said, when you have an opportunity to get a premier player in his prime at a premier position in the league, you've got to take advantage of that opportunity.
You're a rookie linebacker. Just he acted like he belonged from Jump Street. You're a Bears historian. There have been some pretty good linebacking groups in this town. Is this the best?
Wow. Better than Singletary, Wilson,
Wilbur.
Marshall.
Yeah, yeah. With Rivera and Morrissey backing him up, that's not too shabby. Yeah.
Better than Bill George, Joe Fortunato, and Larry Morris. Time will tell. It'd be great if they consider the gauntlet thrown down and want to prove themselves to be the best. Roquan Smith has just been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Stepped right in, hard worker, quick learner, Great closing speed on the field. And I love how he just makes a tackle and jogs back to the huddle. Very workmanlike attitude. It's great to see.
Does he remind you of anybody in their first year? It doesn't have to be at his position. Just as ready as he seemed to fit. Did anybody come to mind?
I would say Mike Singletary.
In year one?
Yeah. Just stepped right in and took charge and didn't look back. Worked out pretty well for Mike Singletary.
Yeah, it did. Not so much as a coach, but he broke a few helmets.
As a player, it worked out. Back to Khalil Mack then for a second. It's a historic move. No one's ever traded more draft picks for a defensive player, and no one's ever paid more money for a defensive player. You guys did both of those things for one player. They've got to go to you for approval on that sort of thing. Any hesitation?
No. Ryan said that he and Matt were talking about it throughout training camp. The first I heard about it was, I think the trade happened on a Saturday, and Ted Phillips came to me the Thursday prior and said, looks like this might happen. It's going to cost us two number one draft picks. I said, okay. He said, this is also going to blow the committed cash budget. I said, let's go get them.
Wasn't hard for you.
No. Like Ryan said, you have an opportunity to get a player like that. You've got to seize the moment.
We're talking to Bears chairman George McCaskey in studio. McNeil and Parkins on the score ahead of the 100th year anniversary. And again, ChicagoBears.com/celebrationweekend for all of the details on that. Something that texters and callers and even some media members will talk about is, you know, there's a lot of McCaskeys. And what happens?
Big pile of McCaskeys.
Yeah, there's just a lot of them. I was looking at the board of director website on at Bears.com. There's nine names on the board. Six of them have the last name of McCaskey. What happens next? Can you tell Bears fans 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that the Bears will still be owned by the McCaskey family?
Well, my brother Pat says that we want to own the Bears until the second coming. So that's the goal. And we have every intention of carrying that out. We don't know what circumstances are going to bring us to challenge that, but that's the goal.
Not everybody shares Pat's conviction, though, correct?
You mean in the family?
Yes.
No, I would say we're very strongly in favor across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Has that changed? Or has it been that way since you can remember?
It's been that way since I can remember.
Okay. All right.
What do you think the NFL looks like in 10 years? What changes do you see happening to the league, whether that's technology or data or player health? How does the league look in 10 years?
Well, I think in 10 years, the officials are never going to get a call wrong.
That'd be good.
And no, seriously, I hope that we make significant progress on the health and safety front. We've got to continue to do everything we can to make the game safer, both for players in career health and post-career health. To me, that's the biggest challenge facing our game. But again, we've faced big challenges before, and I'm very confident that we're going to make the changes that are necessary to continue to make it safer, and that the changes, the innovations that we bring about will filter down to other levels of football and to other sports. You know, we've got to make youth sports safer across the board. And we've got to get kids away from the screens and outside running around doing something to deal with the obesity epidemic in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really got to attack it on several fronts.
You know, with the officials' comment, yeah, it would be wonderful if they never made mistakes. You had your own heartbreak when a field goal didn't go your way. I wonder if you've ever had, maybe you didn't, but more compassion for someone else's postseason heartbreak than what happened to the Saints this past Sunday. That's soul-crushing stuff, man. You work so hard to get there, and it comes down to that.
Yeah, it's like Matt said to the team at the end of the season, only one team is happy. And we were, of course, very disappointed with the sudden end to our season. And yeah, we feel for the Saints, but you know, there's going to be missed calls. And to me, it's one of those things where that's something that a championship team is expected to overcome. It's like the weather. It's like injuries. It's like missed assignments. It's like poor play call or bad scheme in a particular series, whatever. That's part of it. And to be a championship team, you have to overcome it.
So you're of the mindset, like a lot of people are, stop talking about the officials. If they protect Drew Brees better and he doesn't get picked on their series in overtime, things happen differently, and let's quit crying about it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, I don't know how you would process that or administer that. Are we going to review non-calls? And if we review non-calls, then are we going to review the other 21 players on the field to see if they committed a foul on that particular play? I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, that's what everyone is looking for, a solution. And what keeps coming up is let the coaches challenge whatever they want, and it's up to them to be judicious. Do you support that?
No.
No.
I don't think fans want to sit there for 8 hours while we super slow-mo every play that every coach thinks was not called the right way.
Well, it's the same number of challenges as you see can challenge anything. Just as it is today with the number of challenges, you're still within 2 minutes, questionable, you go to replay, but within the context of the first 58, the coach still has the same number of challenges, but you know, has the opportunity at any time on anything.
Well, when instant replay was first introduced, it was primarily to determine the lines. You know, was he inbounds or out of bounds? Did the ball break the plane of the goal line or not? You started getting into things that are more subjective. You know, if you see a receiver and a defender going down the sidelines, there's hand fighting going on both sides all the way down. So you're going to say, well, he flicked his pinky there. I'm going to let that go. Well, hold on a second. Here's an arm bar here. A championship team, needs to overcome those things.
Okay. You're going to lose the grass at Soldier Field someday? It was good this year. It wasn't a topic of conversation, but any conversation about a new field?
It's been good, I think, the last couple of years. I think 2 years prior to 2018 and again in 2017, I think we had 3 home games in December, and I thought the turf held up very well, and it's a credit to the collaboration between our groundskeeping people, led by Ken Marock, and the Park District's groundskeeping people, led by John Nolan. And when you have that kind of collaboration and a little bit of luck, you get a good playing surface. And I've often said, to me, just because a surface looks good doesn't mean it plays well, plays safe. And by the same token, just because a playing surface doesn't look good doesn't mean that it doesn't play well and isn't safe.
So, George, we know about the celebration weekend, June 7th to the 9th at Rosemont Convention Center. And again, chicagobears.com/celebration weekend. But what else can Bears fans be looking forward to for the centennial season?
Well, we've got a couple things going on. One of the things we're most excited about is we want to give fans an opportunity. We're going to donate $100,000 per home game to charity for a total of $1 million. And we're asking fans for input on how that money should best be spent. We don't have all the particulars worked out now about how that's going to happen, the mechanism, but we're looking forward to that collaboration with our fans. We're going to introduce a different classic uniform in 2019 to help celebrate the centennial. The big off-season event, like you said, is June 7th through the 9th at the Rosemont Convention Center. We're going to have alumni coming back. We're going to have panels. We're going to have autograph sessions. We're going to have mementos. We're going to have memorabilia. It should be a lot of fun. And hopefully our centennial season will conclude with a victory in the Super Bowl on the anniversary of the birth of our founder, George Halas, February 2nd, 2020.
Wow. That would not be a bad story.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. George, thanks so much for coming downtown. We really appreciate it and the volume of time you've given us. Enjoy the Pro Bowl this weekend. There are a lot of helmets with C's on them, so have fun with that.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you for the time. That's George McCaskey in studio with McNeil and Parkins. Coming up next, William Peterson joins the show on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.